Good morning, and very welcome back again. So this morning, this is our third week on the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to have a slightly different type of meeting. I'm going to speak very briefly, and then we're going to have a time of ministry. And so what's going to happen is we are going to ask the Spirit of God to come and to fill us and empower us. And a lot of you might be sitting here and you've experienced this before on occasion. Some of you were sitting here and you've never experienced this on occasion. And what we're going to do is open the scriptures and look at what God did and what his promise for us is. But just before I do, I want to do this during worship. So this is a word that God gave to me back in 2000. It was on the 16th of June 2000, just after my birthday, which isn't... I won't pile it on my line. And this is a word for me personally, but also I believe it's a word for us this morning. So if you're here this morning, even before we begin to talk about the empowering of the Holy Spirit or the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I want you to listen and for you to hear how God sees you and the filter he sees you. It says, here is my servant whom I have chosen. This morning you're chosen by God. You are not an accident. Some people think that when I was the surprise of my family. You were not to surprise for God.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? He's never surprised. God never says, didn't see that one coming. You are God's plan. Yeah. And he chose you and planted you right here, right now. You're not here by accident. You're here because of the sovereignty of God. It says, so here's my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love in whom I delight. We are loved by God. You are loved by God this morning. You are his delight. And religion tells you the opposite. And we all have that religious spirit going on within us. Religious tells you, well, I'm not quite good enough, or I don't walk in holiness enough, or I don't walk in obedience enough, or I don't pray enough, or read my Bible enough, or da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But God says, no, you're my delight. You are his delight. He delights in you. And that's the beginning. That's where he comes from. Then he goes on to say, I will put my spirit on him. I will put my spirit on them, right? And he will proclaim justice to the nations. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to fill us and you with the Spirit of God. So let's just read some of the scriptures that we're talking about. Acts 1, 3 to 8. Jesus speaking about Jesus. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. The resurrection. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. So this is a command from the God of heaven and earth, right? This is a command from God with flesh on. His name is Jesus. And he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Now think about this. These are the disciples. They had walked with him. They had seen the miracles. Then their Savior dies. But 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And you can you imagine the Savior is raised from the dead? They must have been filled with dynamic faith. They wanted to come and take Jerusalem and take Israel back and take it. But Jesus said, no, wait. Wait. Hold. Wait for the gift that my Father promised. Wait for the Holy Spirit. But when you think that after walking with Jesus for that period of time, after seeing them, when you think that would be enough, but it wasn't enough. He says, wait for the gift that my Father is going to send. There's more. This morning is all about more. More of God. And I don't know about you, but for me, whether you're here and you know Jesus one day, right? Or 30, 40, 50 years, we need more. We cannot run on our back. My battery runs low. My battery runs low. And so the promise says, wait, wait, wait. Wait for the gift. Wait until he comes to you. Verse 5 says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this idea of baptism, for if you're here this morning, and the day you came to know Jesus, for me, this is my life. I was empty. Yeah. The Spirit was dead within me. I asked Jesus into my life and he filled me with the Spirit of God, and I was filled to the brim. I was made regenerate. The Spirit came alive within me. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God put purpose and put passion and purpose into my life. But then Jesus, the same with the disciples who walked with him, the disciples he breathed on, in the end of the book, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. Then he says, wait for the gift, because I want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So to be baptized, the word baptism is a Greek word, baptisto. It means when a ship is sinking, right? It's fully immersed. So this is what happens. Wait, because I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Not alone will you have the Spirit within you, but you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And this filling will empower you. It's about the empowering Holy Spirit. And I need more, right? I need more. I want more. I desire more. And God desires to give us more. Never before have we lived in a position right now in Ireland, in the Western world, when we are so cognitive, everything is logical, faith is gone, the idea of Ireland being a religious country, a Catholic, is gone, we're secular, your shopping mall, that's where we're all at the moment, where consumerism has consumed us. Never before do we need the power of God in our lives. We need the power of God that's greater than me. We need the power of God that will allow me to get over being tired or weary as a Christian or weary within church or weary being a witness or weary for prayer, weary for reading God's word, weary for worship, that he filled us with a dynamic power within us that we're red hot on fire for Jesus Christ. Come on, that's what we need. That's what we need. And you're here this morning, that expresses itself in different ways. When I'm outside the door, I don't be speaking like this to people. I'm a bit calmer, a bit quieter. But the fire is burning within, and I need more and more and more of that fire. And so what's going to happen is that after I speak, what we're going to do, we're going to have worship, and we're all going to stand and worship again. And then what's going to happen is we're going to invite you to come up, and we're going to lay hands on you that you would receive the empowering Holy Spirit, that you would be submerged, that you would be baptized in the Spirit of God. And this is what's going to happen. Some of you are going to be sitting there and you're saying, I'm not going up there. Some of you are going to say, I went up there years ago. Never happened to me before. Some of you are sitting there and saying, I'm afraid to go up there. And I want to tell you, this morning there's an enemy here. And this can be that still small voice. There's two voices speaking this morning. Decide which one you're going to follow. But I want to tell you, when I make that call, you can sit there like that, and you can tap your foot and you say, not for me, not for me, not for me. Or you can say, Lord, oh, I surrender because I need more. I need more of you in my life. I need more of you in my family. I need more of you in my community. I want you to set me on fire. I want you to set me alight. I want you to empower me that this is just not about me. This is about the kingdom of God. This has been filled with the Spirit of God. And not to do crazy things, but to be his witness. So what am I doing? I'm speaking into your mind right now. I'm preparing you before we even make the altar call. I'm telling you that you have an enemy that dwells within your mind and that tells you, no, let everybody else go. Let everybody else do that. Let everybody else. But this is for you. You. Me. We. This is for us this morning. God is here and he wants to do a work in our hearts. The context of this is we've been looking at this for the last number of weeks. But the context is God is beginning to move on our church the last 6 to 8 weeks. And he's beginning to do something new in us, but in Ireland, in our country. And there's a time when we have this crowd by two. 30 years ago, people said it's impossible, you can't have that in Ireland. That, you know, with churches of 30, they thought it was revival. That's the way it was. But this is nothing compared to what God wants to do. God wants to have churches of many, many, multiple thousands of people who are in fire for God and who are his witnesses. He wants to plant thousands of churches and churches of thousands. That's what he wants. He wants to revive our nation and bring in the light that we can say it yet again, we're a nation of what? Saints and scholars. Well, who cares about the scholars? Let's get the saints first, right? Get them saved first, right? And then we'll make them scholars after. But that's what he wants to do in our hearts. And he wants us to be part of that story. He wants us to be part of that revival. He wants us to be part. You were not here by accident. You have been planted in this place this morning. And we have a purpose, and it is to change where we live in. So then he said, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, even in a little place called Newbridge with 23,000 people. Even in every little village, every town, every city in this nation, you will be called to and you will be empowered to go there. And once we receive this Holy Spirit, right, it is a power that surpasses us. I don't care about any other power. It's a power that overcomes PJ. It's a power that overcomes my flesh, my fallen nature, my weakness. It is that power that allows me to love Jesus and to love his people and love the people within this nation where he put us. That's the power. That's a miraculous power. It's a power to serve, to live, and to lead. It's a power that excites, and it's a power that brings joy within our hearts. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the Holy Spirit not only brings great power, but produces great fruit. That if you plant an apple tree, there's going to be apples on it. You won't go out and find oranges on it. It'll be an apple tree. And some of that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I need that power to live that out. Come on, none of us. We might be good in one area, but probably brutal in the other. We need the fruits of the Spirit. We need the empowering Holy Spirit to be fruitful in our lives. All the things that we're searching for, all the things that we desire, right, can be helped along with the empowering Holy Spirit. Then later in Acts 2:1-4, this is what happened. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. There was 120 in the upper room. Remember, Jesus said, wait. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And this is really interesting. Not alone was there this whirlwind storm outside, but it filled the house. And God is saying to this morning, there might be a whirlwind, but he wants to fill our house. He wants to fill my heart. That's where it begins with. He wants to fill your heart with that empowering, with the blowing of his Spirit, the wind that you know inside that changes me. And if it changes me and changes Elizabeth, my family has changed. And if it changes our family, maybe we'll touch other families around us. And if it touches other families, we might change our community. And if we change our community, we might change a town, the county, and indeed the nation itself. It has to begin with me. It begins with us this morning. And he's ready and he wants to fill us, the blowing of the wind. Verse 3 said, and they saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It affected their speech. This morning, if you speak in tongues, yes, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. When we lay hands on people, we'll be praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people may begin even to pray in tongues now, but not everybody. Some people can pray in tongues later. I've known people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit a week later, a month later, a year, they begin to pray in other tongues. Not everyone, according to the book of Acts, and I've studied and done the numeric thing on it, spoke in tongues according to Scripture. But if you speak in tongues, yeah, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the proof of the pudding. But there's more. It's not about speaking in tongues. It's about the transformation and the power, fire he puts within your belly. Can I tell you that? And it begins to bear fruit. If I have a row with Elizabeth and all I do is sit beside her and speak in tongues, it will not resolve the issues. It'll just dig another deep hole. Am I right? But if I'm gentle, if I'm loving, if I'm kind, if I bear fruit, we can be restored. So we need the dynamic power of God to transform us, that we bear good fruit. Really, really good fruit. That's what this has to be about. You know, there's a quotation, and it helps us. For those this morning, maybe you've had a bad experience. I apologize for your bad experiences in church. But this is not about church. This is not about PJ. This is not about leadership. This is about the Spirit of God. And here's a quotation I heard once. We must not evaluate the Bible on our experiences. We must measure our experience against the Bible. Against the Bible. God is here. He really, really is here. Worship team is going to come back. We're going to get ready. And this is what's going to happen. As the worship team gets ready, we might take away that front row as well, lads, when you're there. We'll get ready for it. So I'm going to invite you forward. We're going to have our ministry team, our leadership team are going to be here, and we're going to lay hands on you. And when we lay hands on you, different things might happen. Now, people say, what kind? Yeah, if you get rid of that as well, might as well, come on. Seeing that your hand is on it, get rid of it. And this row as well, get rid of the whole lot, good. So this is what happens sometimes with the Spirit of God. Sometimes for me, what often happens is I get this sense of peace, just peace. It's like a great calmness and quietness. If we can just sit back down where you are again, just for a moment, and then I'm going to invite everyone to get up again. Just sit back down for a moment as we get the instruction. Because this is important as what's going to happen. There are times when people lay hands on me and lay hands on you, and it just a sense of peace and calmness can come over you. There's other times, you have a fine pair of knees on you there, Gary, good man. There's other times that you can have a sense of excitement. There's several times I would be prayed with and people would lay hands on me, and I would feel like the weightiness of God upon me, that my knees would buckle and I'd actually sit down. Once or twice I'd actually fall down, and it was easier to lie down than it was stand up. But when you see stuff like that, this is not funny or weird stuff. It's the presence of God. And what I want to encourage you, that if you see something or ever have seen anything like that, do you know what I instruct you to do? Go and talk to them afterwards. So what was that like for you? I saw you that you were prayed with. I saw you, you had to sit down. What was going on for you? And when you talk to them, you'll find out the experience that they had. So don't just stand back and say, that's weird. Don't do that. Enter into it. Is that okay? Enter into it. And this is what's going to happen. There was 120 in the upper room that were waiting with expectation. Their Lord and Savior said, wait, guys. Wait. There's more. You've had me. You've seen the miracle, but there's more. There's more than you can have ever experience. There's more than you have ever seen. I have more for you. And that more is available right here, right now, this morning. And let me go back to what I said earlier. Really important. You're sitting there. Unless he hits me with a sledgehammer, I'm not getting up out of this seat. That can be quite normal. But resist that. Will you? Resist that this morning. If you have any inclination, just get up of your seat and come up. I've known people who got baptized in the Holy Spirit standing at their kitchen sink. But this morning, we have an atmosphere of what? Worship, a prayer, of expectancy. Kieran, who does a lot of gardening, will tell you that when you prepare the soil and prepare the ground and you put the seed, the ground will receive that seed willingly and it will bear fruit. We've prepared the ground. This is our third week preparing the ground. The ground is prepared. The ground is prepared. Have an expectation. When God says, I've got more, he's got more. It's his work. It's not PJ's work. It's not leadership work. It's his work. What we do, and we're going to be facilitators of what he's doing this morning. Are you ready? So let's stand where you are. Let's stand. What we're going to do is we're going to do one worship song. And then I'm going to come and I'm going to invite our ministry team up. But what we want to do is just get into that place of worship again. Prepare your heart. We've 20 minutes. We've loads of time. You don't have to collect your kids. You don't have to run. Don't be going in and out. Just keep nice and quiet and see what God will do.